Blog Talk Radio.
All right, how you guys doing today? This is Joseph coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. Just looking at the show today, we're going to be having is going to be talking about the world of confusion. The world is filled with so much confusion. Have you ever wondered why? Well, tune in today and I'll explain some of this to you. But before we get started, because this is the day that God has created for us to set aside and to actually consecrate ourselves to him to be holy. You know, we 7 days a week are supposed to be holy, but this was the day he gave us to worship us, to come together and be in submission to him. So before I get started today, I'm going to have a quick prayer, and we're going to get right on into the show. And I thank all y'all for coming out, too. Okay. Oh, Lord Jesus, my soul cleaved unto the dust. Give me life, Lord, according unto thy word. I have declared my ways, thy heart is me. Teach me thy statutes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, make me to understand the way of precept. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melted from heaviness. Strengthen me, Lord Jesus, through thy word. Lord, remove from me the lying and grant me your law graciously, Lord Jesus. I have chosen your way, Lord. In thy judgment have I put before me. And I ask, Lord, that you guide me in all of the directions I may go. And I ask that you bless the hearers today, Lord, that you may give them what is missing in their life in the day of darkness and the end of his time, Lord. We ask that you bless every hearer out there to have an understanding, Lord, and that the word of God enter into their heart and mind and that they be able to meditate on it and it begins to grow in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so today my show is going to be talking about a world of confusion. You know, we look at the world today and it's filled with so much confusion. We got riots, uprisings, wars, rapes, gang violence, politicians that are work. I wouldn't let them leave my kid, walk my dog to school, okay, at school or wherever, down the street, excuse me. But anyway, I would not even let them walk them, my dog, okay. The guys we got out there, and we look at our world. You know, they embezzlement. You have banks that are just ripping the people off, have their money in there, and they just get caught for it, and they pay the politicians and go on. Theft, we got death on this world, all kinds of misery. This world is full of misery. And I begin to think on this because as I was looking scripturally, I was wondering, you know, looking at my world, and this world is full of confusion. And I thought scripturally. When I looked at the scripture, I realized one thing about the scriptures. In Matthew, because we are dealing with the kingdom, and people got caught up in this word, you know, it was a word inserted into the Bible. And it was inserted by the Catholics, and the word is church. And this threw a whole twist to how we see the Bible. You know, as a church, and with the church, the word church come out from Kakusku, okay? It cannot be translated because the original word that was in the Bible when it first was translated into English was ecclesia. Ecclesia means called out one. And ecclesia cannot be translated into church. So called out, you've been called out to be a part of a kingdom, but when they put the word church in there, it became lord or ruler house. That's why you got to go down when you become a preacher and go to school because this is the world system. They go to school. And they go down to the city hall and register their church. It is a government entity, okay? So with that said, they threw the whole message of God by doing that, by that one little word, and they made an edit that word was not to be removed. But before we came together as an assembly of countrymen, and that's how we gathered together. That's what it's called, assembly. But let's back up and look at what Jesus did because we're dealing with the kingdom of God. Because his message was not about a church, but it was about a kingdom. So I'm starting off in what is Matthew 4:1. So then was Jesus led up right after his baptism, people, after he baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, a couple of scriptures up before that. And he was our example. He says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. It says, then the devil taking him up into a holy city, in the holy city, and setting him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, and it is as it is, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hand shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou be dashed thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written. Notice he continued, when he continued to rebuke Satan or to resist Satan, he simply quoted scriptures, and more or less tell him that that's not according to the word of God. So it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taking him up in an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdom. Notice this, and the devil taking him up, and this is where I've come here for, this particular verse. It said, and the devil taking him up in an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Notice how he said he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Okay. And he said unto, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. But notice he offered Jesus all the kingdoms. That's what it was. He told him he's going to give him all of the kingdoms of the world. So what does that tell you when I talk about kingdom? Because later on after this very same chapter, you go on and you go, I'm going to kind of jump here. It says, okay, I'm going down to verse 12 in chapter 4. It says, now when Jesus had heard John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt at Capernaum, which is up on the seacoast in the border of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was written by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea by Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and them which sat in the realms of darkness light is sprung up. He says, from this time, notice this, Jesus began to preach. What did he say? He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. He didn't say repent, for the church is at hand. See, confusion. When you look at this world, Satan offered him the world. This is his kingdom. This is the devil kingdom. This is why there's so much confusion in our world. This is why when you go and you look at these politicians, they ain't worth, I mean, they ain't not even worth the dust on your shoe. And somebody, even like this guy Trump running in office, that's outright ridiculous. How did he get there? A felon should be able to run for president if he can get in there. And so, but this is Satan's kingdom. That's what we all missing. This is, we're living in Satan's kingdom. Like I did a show on the tare and the wheat, the children of God and the children of Satan. Right now, we're dwelling in Satan's kingdom, okay? We live in, that's why he offered. He said, all the glory of the world, if you bow down, you can have it because it's mine. He's offering his kingdom. That's the devil kingdom. That's what the new world order is about. That is Satan's kingdom. That is a counterfeit government coming to globally unite all the world under the Antichrist and the false prophet. We are in those times, people. This is why we're seeing so much confusion, because when Israel asked, his disciples asked him, when would he be returning to restore the kingdom? And I'm going to what is going to be Matthew 24. So what we're living in Satan's kingdom, so it should not be a shock that there's murders, there's rapes, there's divorce. You know, really, divorce cracks me up too, because there's nobody willing to live up to a standard. They make commitments that they won't keep, okay? And so you're looking at this world, and you murder, you know, there's people get overwhelmed with anger and kill one another, but it's not surprising. It's just Satan's kingdom. His world is, we're looking at, let me be back, I was going to say the word, but it is his world, but it's his governance. This is his governance. It's confusion. This is what Satan has to offer us. Confusion, death, sorrow, mourning. That's what he has to offer us. Okay, so this is chapter 24. And this is chapter 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming?" They're looking for the end of all this, in the end of the age. I like that, because I'm going to jump to one scripture and come right back. And it is going to be Psalms 92, 6 and 7. He's asking, the disciples asking him, what were they really asking? I'm saying scripturally, what were they asking him? And that's going to be Psalms 92 and 6. Look what it says. "The brutish man knoweth not, neither do a fool understand this." That's why it's foreign to many, when you begin to talk truth. When you talk nonsense, the world hears nonsense. They receive that. They take that in quick. But when you begin to speak the truth, it becomes a confusion. The brutish man, they said the fools understand, they don't understand this. The fools understand this not. Okay? It said not do the fool under. Okay, let me move on to scripture. Okay, "And the wicked springeth as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish," when it's there in abundance, when they flourish and they control everything, you see people commit embezzlement and don't nothing happen. $43 million to a CEO. Why? He's got everybody. That's free health insurance. That's pay raises for everybody. But you're giving it to one man. This is the world, the way Satan's running his world under his governance. Okay? It says, "When the wicked springeth as the grass, and when all the wicked, the workers of iniquity do flourish," they're in plenty, they're overrunning. It said, "Is it that they shall," but they don't understand, in other words, that's what he's saying, "that they shall be destroyed forever." They're not considering. They people looking at this stuff and how crazy our world is getting, they don't realize they're going to put an end. God is going to put an end to this soon. So that's what the disciples were asking him, because they're looking at all this religious confusion, all the stuff that was going on. And they asked, when are you going to come back, Christ? When are you coming back? He said, when should the end of these things be? When is all this madness? When is Satan going to finally be put out of commission? And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." First thing he told us, pay close attention. Take heed that no man deceive you, mislead you. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ," in other words, the anointed, "and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. These are the beginning of sorrow," when the wicked flourish, not understanding the end is come. So they ask that question. If you look at Psalms 92 and 7, it says when they flourish, they don't understand. There's going to be put an end to them forever. That's the time of their destruction. They don't get it. This is the time of their destruction. See, the tares in the wheat. We're living in a world right now, and your people are saved and unsaved. So we're two people. If you're in a house, the Bible says an enemy should be of an all man's household. One's going to be wheat, one's going to be tare. You're outside, you're at work. You might be saved. The other person over there, that's the devil's kingdom versus God's kingdom. And it's not going to be peace, because this is Satan's government. This is what he has to offer us, and this is what we live up under, the confusion. But Christ gave a good message. He told us, when we see all of this, when wickedness has flourished, said, "Let it be known, an end is coming to all of this madness." And he goes on to say, he said, "Then shall they deliver you up," verse 9, "to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And it shall be, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." I like the Bible, but sometimes we miss key things because we've been taught to see this Bible in a certain way. People think their thoughts are their own thoughts, but as you go to school, you become conditioned to think a certain way. You know, you really do. Your condition, and okay, I'm just looking. I have to step out for a second if somebody's texting. But your condition of your thinking, how you've been thought, how you thought, or how you're thinking, I'm sorry, is conditioned. You go to school, and they show you a certain way to think, how to see life, how to perceive life. The word of God is not like that. The word of God begins to reprogram your mind. It says the word converted the soul. So when you could get a clear understanding, and you get to throwing off all this thinking and how they condition us to see things. So you see here, it says, and he says, and you should be hated. Place for a second. Hold up. Okay, yes. Verse 9 says, and then shall they kill you, deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall hate, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's talking about the children of Israel. It's not just talking about the believer. People get caught up in that. That means us. That means no. The nation of Israel, the true Israelites, will be hated of all nations for his name's sake. You know, they say in the scripture, it said, let us make Israel name not, that's Psalms. They're joined together. And a lot of people don't understand this is a time of Jacob's trouble. And even when the Bible says Jesus shall deliver his people, people think, if people look at that and they think, oh, that means he came to save all of them. Don't get this wrong, he did bring salvation to all men. But he shall deliver his people is talking about the end of time. It is not talking about the salvation plan itself. It's talking about when Israel will be in such a state, when everybody around them is trying to kill them, that he was going to be the one to deliver them. Okay. And in Psalms 83 says, now this is what's going on right now in our time. It says in Psalms 83, say, keep not thy silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be, and I'm going to stop reading right there for a second, because first of all, I don't want everybody to get off track. We're talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Okay. So Christ is going to reign through Israel. That's where I'm going with this. And I don't even need to read Psalms 83. And I know you guys said you stopped there, but no, let's look at Revelation, because that's, I'm going in a little different direction I want to go there with that. But the bottom line is the kingdom. And so when he comes back, he's coming back, and Israel is going to take his rightful place, because if you look at Acts 1, they asked that. The disciples were concerned. He said they should be hated of all people. You know, the whole world going to hate us because of who we are. It's not about racism. It's about who God chose. Okay, now look at this. He says, and this is Acts 1 and 6. And when they therefore will come together, in Psalms, real quick here, Psalms 83, you can read it. This shows that the world has joined together to prevent Israel from becoming a nation. Okay, I'm talking about the true Israelites. I'm not talking about the Edomites over there now, because the scriptures, and I will show you scripturally that that's not, they're not who they say they are, because the true Israelites cannot return to Israel until the time of his return. He says, when therefore they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore, look at what he asked him, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? See, there's a counterfeit kingdom that's coming. That's going to be ruled by the Antichrist and the false prophet. They're going to unite the world. But he's talking about the true kingdom, the true world dominance, when Christ comes and takes over the whole world and rules the world, and the world goes into a peaceful, okay. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. See, the time. See, there was two parts of this kingdom. The day of Pentecost was the first part. Notice this, what is 7, chapter 17 of Luke. It tells you the first part of the kingdom. Okay. And here it is, the 17, verse 20. It says, and when he was determined of the Pharisees, notice what they asked him. When the kingdom of God shall come. Notice they didn't ask him when the church coming. Well, how we get caught off in this word church? And everything he says is his kingdom. We're in a divided kingdom right now. Satan's kingdom, God's kingdom. Satan owns this right now. That's why the world is full of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. So there will be no confusion in Christ's kingdom. So this is the difference. We got two kingdoms right now we're living in.
Okay, and this is said, and when he, and the true kingdom hasn't came, but it has taken birth on his planet. It says, when he was determined of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come. Notice that, when should the kingdom of God come? He said, he answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God come not with observance. Neither shall I say, lo, here, or lo, there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. Now notice this. John 3:3. It said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't understand it. If you don't become a new creature, you can't understand it. Then John 3:5, it said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Can't get in. Water and spirit, okay? So let's look at the day of Pentecost, because he told them the two parts of the kingdom. And I'm going back to Acts 1 because he says something that's very important here. So they asked about when was the kingdom going to be restored to Israel. So we should be hated of all nations because the true Israelites are going to have world dominance. So the world is already beginning to make a confederation. They make a council. They use a crafty council to kill them. And see, that's how funny people take that scripture out of context. It's not dealing with the whole world. Now, the world, yes, they are going to be church persecuting the believers, those the true saved people. In other words, those who are committed to Christ changing their life. But they're going to go after the actual house of Israel. That's what that's talking about when he says, and he shall save his people because he's going to come back to deliver them out of the madness, what's going on here in this world. Okay, and this was verse 8. He said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. See, the kingdom of God has given birth in you. You shall receive power. Okay? He said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all of Judah and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Chapter 2, you remember he said the kingdom of God come without observance, right? He says, and this is Acts 2:1. He says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Okay, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It filled everybody who was in there. The Holy Ghost, the kingdom of God has given birth. Okay, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set up on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, ability. They weren't speaking just gibberish. Pay attention to the scripture. People don't believe what people tell you. Read the word. And because you read down, you find out they all understood them. They weren't hearing some all that fake tongue mess you see out there in the world. That ain't nothing but witchcraft. They call them wizards and familiar spirits. It said, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem, devout men out of every nation under heaven. He said, now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because of what? Because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. They understood them. That's what brought conviction. See, because if there was no understanding, then you can't be convicted. If something you don't understand, you can't be convicted. And it goes on, I'm going to jump down to verse 21, it said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man, not a God, Jesus of Nazareth, a man, approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And he talks about determined counsel, who you said in him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. He said, and so he's the man killed him, right? He said, whom God has risen up and having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Christ is alive. He got back up after that when they tried to kill him, not understanding that he is the King of Glory. And I'm saying they want to kill the King of Glory, but they didn't understand by them killing him was going to propel him into power and authority of all things. 36 says, and therefore let all the house of Israel know surely that God has met that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord, superior in authority, and Christ, your anointing. And the Holy Ghost, pretty much you go back up to 33. It says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. He gave us the Holy Ghost, the power and authority of God. Now, as we get down, he said, now when they heard this, they were pricked, 37, in their heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, what? In the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There is water and spirit. Except a man be born again, except a man to be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's water, there's baptism, and there's spirit, water and spirit. And not only that, he said he washed us from our sins with his own blood, Revelation 1 and 5. So the blood is in the baptism of Jesus' name. That is how it's applied to you. But that's when salvation came to Israel and to all men, because at Acts 10, this is the same thing that the Gentiles did. He says, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. If you're called by God, you're going to follow this. Okay? He said, I'm going to kick the word out because I know it. So he said, praise God. He said, and they continue daily with one accord in temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat the meat with gladness and single heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the kingdom, really, or the assembly of God daily, such as should be saved. Now look at, which is Revelations 12. So we see what happened. On the day of Pentecost, Christ's kingdom gave birth. And I'm going to skip and I'm going to jump back. And he says, and I heard a loud voice. This is chapter Revelations 12. I hope you guys can keep up with me here. Revelations 12. That's why it's always good to have a pen and a paper and kind of listen to the person write down, for you can go back and look at the scriptures to see if they're telling you something that's a forest, in other words, a lie, or is this something true. That I heard, it said, and this is chapter 10. He said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation. When did he come? On the day of Pentecost. And strength, that Holy Ghost, and the kingdom of our God. That's when he gave birth. Now has come salvation, the baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, the infilling of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Now has come salvation and strength. It was there. And the kingdom of God, he said, the kingdom of God should be within you. So when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you are part of the kingdom of God. You're no longer a tear or a weak. In the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Satan can no longer go into heaven. He got kicked out, which accused them day and night. Before our God, day and night. And you go back up, you find out in verse 7, and then you look at the beginning of Revelation 12, you see that it's talking about the house of Israel. Verse 5 deals with, and she had brought forth a man-child, which was to rule all the nation with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God, talking about Jesus to his throne. So I'm not going to be able to finish all like I like to, but I'm going to jump down here real quick. But it tells you, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the baptism in Jesus' name, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until death. He said, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwelleth in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. But this is his world. You guys who ain't a part of the kingdom of God, I told you how to become a king of God, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what you got to do. We're living in his kingdom, so don't be so shocked when you see murders and kidnappings, whatever they're doing in this world. This is his kingdom, okay? But we're waiting the arrival of Christ's physical kingdom now. But we still have time to enter into, because that means you get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And those baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is filled with the Holy Ghost in order to be a part of the kingdom of God. So when he comes, you're not getting ready, you're ready. Because he's going to remove all of this. And the wicked don't realize all this confusion you're seeing means their time has come to an end. They don't even realize that's what it means.
I thank you guys again for coming out to Revolutionary Gospel News. I have books out there, and I appreciate y'all support. You go out and get them. It's called The Devil Workshop, Revival of the Roman Empire, Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation, and Temple Mount. It's not my main thing today. I market it, but basically, people, get yourself together. It's time. It's time is winding up on us. And I thank you guys once again for coming out to hear me on Revolutionary Gospel News.